This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
the presence of the Lord. We've been looking forward to coming to class in the UK. We've got Europe in the UK for a while. I was Europe. Whenever we come to the Netherlands, there's a bit of a challenge in us getting there. Right? So either a visa doesn't come through in time, get left behind somewhere, but we are here. And we're very thankful to be here. And it's a special weekend, I think. Well, I think like that, because it's a weekend in a sense of a continuation of what has been. I think we've had how many planted, we had how many regional get together. 10 years. Now this is the 11th year of us coming together. It's a continuation of so many beautiful things, but in a very real way, also the start of something new. First one here in the Netherlands, and I think it's significant. And so, Dapjan and Renee, thank you so much. Elaine and the rest of the team for putting this together for us. Beautiful venue. My goodness, it's driving me already. It's been so relaxing and therapeutic. And this feeling of spirit being refreshed. And I was the whole morning just looking at this beautiful picture here behind us, which I think is so representative of the Netherlands. Beautiful green and the water flowing, and there's such a powerful purpose that God has for this country, and God has for Europe. Obviously coming from South Africa, where we have been on the receiving end of a lot of blessing that we have received from Europe in terms of the light, the gospel that has gone there. And over the years, obviously, hundreds of years, with the legacy that the European countries have left in our nation, we're very thankful. There was a lot of human stuff that was in there as well. We trusted God to redeem, but there was so much light and so much this goodness of the word of the Lord planted in our nation that came from countries like the Netherlands and countries like England. And so we're very thankful and privileged as Shofar to be a part of what God is doing. Where God is more and more now busy almost returning the favor, where many of the countries that go on the receiving end that receive a lot of light and light from Europe are now in a position to also bring some of the light back to Europe. And so we are blessed and privileged as Shofar to partner with what God is doing in your lives, each one of you in different countries. Maybe I can just get an indication who's from where. I know we've got somebody from Indonesia. And I know that we've got Germans here in our midst. Who else do we have?
China.
Taiwan. Come on.
Bulgaria.
Hey, come on.
So international.
Yeah, hey, amazing.
The
Netherlands, of course. Yes. 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 Got a few Brits here and I'm China as well. Come on, this is amazing. Right? It's almost like a nation per person here. That's amazing. And God has called us to reach the nations. He's given us a love for the nations. And so I also want you just to remember that when we come to a meeting like this, we don't just look through the eyes of our human understanding. And so we don't just look at numbers. But we look indeed as when they said, we look at seed. And so there's so much seed here in this room. And who knows what our lives and the lives of the people around us will look like when that seed reaches its full potential. China will look like, Zambia will look like, Taiwan will look like, the Netherlands. When that seed grows in our own lives and grows in the lives of people, and whose lives we will sow. So I'm excited about what's happening in the Spirit. I want to pray for us. Father, indeed, as we heard this morning, it's a privilege to call you Father. Amen. You're not a distant God. You're not an apathetic God. You're not passive. You are actively involved in our lives, intimately involved. And we thank you that you have brought us each year, Lord, for this weekend, for a few moments together in your presence. Lord, this is indeed holy ground.
And Lord, we recognize the burning bush of your voice. Recognize, Lord, the destiny-shaping moments. And you have prepared for us, God. So we want to pray that you will continue the voice of God to speak to us. Holy Spirit, thank you that you consume every thought and every word, Lord, that is humanly inspired this morning, and that only life, life in the Spirit, Lord, remains. And we know that your word will not return unto you, Lord. We know it's your word that will have its way with us. Come as a hammer that shatters the rock, come as the consuming fire, come as the rain that waters the earth. Come in whichever way you choose to do so, God, in our lives. Here's our hearts, we will have your way. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm wanting to share with you just a little bit from my heart this morning. And tomorrow morning as well. And we've been on a journey. I just recently came back from Burundi. We visited our Shofa churches there in Burundi. It's been amazing to see what God is doing there. And I've got a suspicion that one of these days you guys might be sending a mission team to Burundi to go and support the church there. It's amazing what God is doing. The guys don't need so much help with evangelism, so much they need with leadership development and with some practical things. So if you've got a passion for education or for healthcare, then you really might just be the next place that God will be sending you. I know there are some Fijians that are heading there for a visit. So these amazing children of Dad and Renee that she spoke about, we've got the privilege of having them in our church. So Dad and Renee, thank you for blessing us with such amazing people. Very incredible. Four little ones. All under the age of four, five.
Yeah,
they
turn four.
Yeah, so they're all under the age of four of them. So you would, one of them, well, two of them are twins, right? But you would think with four kids under the age of four, you would have enough excuse not to be involved, right? You said four kids under the age of four, there would be enough excuse for me to maybe not be on the sound team, not help out in this church, not take people meals, not come to intercession, because I've got four kids on the actual call. None of that. They're just none of that. They're just like, it's amazing. And so just their very lives are so challenging and inspirational as well. And so they're taking a mission team and they're going to Burundi in September, just to go and impart and see what the Lord is wanting to do there. But in any case, so I'm bringing greetings from Shofar Burundi as well, and from Shofar South Africa, and the guys from Namibia also sending your all their love to you guys. And we're hoping that somewhere down the line you guys come and visit us as well. And come and be a blessing to us. And where I've been going, I've just been sharing with our churches what I believe is on the heart of God. And I know that we're not going to have you guys convergence this year. I don't think any of you will be able to make it to convergence happening in two weeks' time. But I'm wanting to bring some convergence to you. Alright, as we come together, so share a little bit of my heart that I'm going to share there. So you guys are the guinea pigs. Well, I'm going to share this with you first, and then take it to the rest of the movement. But we've been privileged to be, and since we've been here, we were able to go and visit a couple of amazing places, and we went up to Scotland for a couple of days, and then came back and spent some time with Hercules in Milan at Eastbourne, beautiful place. And there's an incredible coastline called Beachy Head. How many of you guys have been to Beachy Head? Right, it's a beautiful place. Some of the pictures there will give you a little bit of indication. So the sunset, we arrived there and the sun was setting. It was so beautiful. And Agnes and myself, they're walking with our kids, who literally, they either wrap us around their pinkies or they steer us with their hands where they want us to go. But it's Agnes and Zoe and me with Kate. Walking amongst the sheep there, and the cattle, I was so reminded of Jesus as the shepherd. He's come to shepherd us and to guide us. And of course, there in the left-hand corner, you don't really get the idea, but it's massive. It's, I think it's 351 feet, what is that in meters? But it's high, all right? So there's Hercules and myself talking about we're going to plant the next church. So we go to the nations, first we'll take the left, then we take the right, then we take the north, and we've got plans to expand all over the globe. He's laying out the roadmap for Europe there, and then We're going to go into Malta as well one of these days, going to support Steph and Heinrich there. So it was just so amazing looking out over the ocean and being able just to have nature inspire us, to know that God loves nature, He loves His beauty. And of course, they're the love of my life, my beautiful wife Nikki. It'll be 16 years in November. People always think about it. Yeah, I'm a cradle snatcher. Yes. Yeah. 16 years. But we've known each other for 10 years before we got married, so it's been a while. Yes. Okay, and so there at the bottom you'll see the lighthouse. Can you see the lighthouse?
Yeah.
So just looking out over there was so incredibly inspiring. And a beautiful, beautiful place, probably one of the most beautiful places that that I've had the privilege of going to. Such beauty, such amazing variety and splendor, you know. It was so much more beautiful to be able to share it with loved ones. You know, sometimes you get to a place and it's beautiful, it's amazing. But that beauty and the joy you experience gets multiplied if you share it with others. And sometimes like, oh, man, I wish I could share this with someone. And then there are people around you whom you can share it. It's incredible. So such a beautiful place. But you know, as beautiful as a place is, it's also been the place that since 1965, 500 people have committed suicide. The exact same place. Exact same place. So a place that inspired us with hope and with vision and love. The exact same place is also a place of death. Mm. Isn't that fascinating? The exact same place, the exact same nature, and they've had, it's like, I think last year, there was a family that committed suicide. I found the bodies of three people down there, seven at one stage. And I was wondering about this and thinking about how often we would look at circumstances and you would say, if only I could be in this space, or I can be in this beautiful place or in this magnificent place, then I would be better or happy or more fulfilled. But it's clearly not the case. That you can be in a place so inspiring, awe-inspiring, worship-inspiring, and have a moment pass you by because of your perspective. Because of something that's not external but internal. And so I've been meditating on this really quite a bit, and Proverbs speaks about this, Proverbs 13 as well, speaks about this. This internal thing that we carry with us, and if you get to the place where many of those people, those 550 people arrived at, when you stand there and you see the beauty, you see the height, you have to make those sums. Am I going to enjoy this? Am I going to allow the sunlight and the beauty to inspire me and give me hope to continue? Or if I come to the end of my strength, then the Proverbs speaks about what happens to us when our hope gets deferred. And the New King James Version says, and hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred, or hope delayed, or hope frustrated, makes the heart sick. And I think, like any of us would know, that sickness isn't necessarily, it's different to an injury. An injury, Douglas would know, he had a bit of an injury last year, earlier this year, when was it? At the end of last year, cycling, and then I had quite a big injury with his leg in. So just kudos to you, Douglas, for being back on the bike, my brother, and cycling all the way here, because that was a nasty, nasty accident. But, you know, sickness in general isn't like an injury that happens in a moment. Sickness in general creeps up on us. Happens over time. And the Holman's translation says that delayed hope makes the heart sick, but fulfilled desire is a tree of life. And so on the one hand, you've got hope that has been delayed, hope that has been frustrated, and it leads to the human heart growing weary, some translations say, growing sick, some translations say. The Good News Bible says that crushed hope leads to a crushed heart. And that when you get to the end of your hope, when you get to the end of the strength of your heart, because our hearts need to be strong. I think the guys at Cycle experienced it. The stronger your heart, the healthier your heart, the more oxygen from your heart can flow to your legs and to your brain. And so you can actually make better decisions. You can see where you're going. You can make better calculated decisions because your heart is strong. But when your heart loses its strength, it is inevitable that somewhere down the line your muscles start losing its strength. Your ability to think start losing its strength. Your ability to see clearly start losing its strength. And so often we focus on the growing the muscles, growing the externals, but it's actually the heart that determines how far you will go in life. And then I believe that God is positioning the church, and specifically God has positioned the church here in Europe in a place where, funnily enough, hope isn't in abundant supply. That you would think that with everything that is available, that hope would be in abundant supply. But it is not. And I believe that there's an opportunity for the church, there's an opportunity for the people of God who over the centuries have always been people of hope. Always been, it's been one of the most distinguishing factors of Christianity, of this light that we carry inside of us, to be able to walk into the darkest of places, the darkest of circumstances, and have hope inside of us. Hope that allows us to be, as the word of the Lord shared, to rise up and be the head, not the tail, in spite of the circumstances around us. And I think when hope gets crushed, when hope gets delayed, one of the results sometimes is actually a state of depression. A state of depression is just like you get depressed. You get squashed, you get squeezed into becoming smaller than who you have been created to be. And, you know, I'll share some of my life stories as we go along, but, you know, here in the UK, in the European region, just 1 in 7 people suffer from a severe, right? So we're not talking just about a passing phase, a couple of weeks or months, severe mood disorder during the last 1 in 7 people. And if you think about the people that you work with, if you've got colleagues around you, it is likely that you are working with someone who is suffering in this regard. Mental disorders account for about 26% of the burden of disease in the EU. Depression alone is responsible for about 15% of all days of disability. Some countries, such as the Netherlands, have reported up to 50% of long-term sick leave and disability. Payments are due to mental disorders, mostly depression. 50% of chronic sick leaves due to anxiety, depression. The cost of mood disorders, anxiety in the EU is about 170 billion euros. That is shattering. Think about that. So I think we would be able to agree that it is a massive need. I think with that massive need, there's a massive opportunity. Don't you agree? We're putting 170 billion euros spent on healthcare. The amount of people that are suffering in silence, I think there is a tremendous opportunity for the gospel. For the gospel. The power of God unto salvation. And I think often when we would talk to people about salvation, we talk about hope, we talk about Jesus saving. It's difficult for someone always to understand, I think, maybe even so much more in a context like this, what do I need to be saved from? And I want to pray with you and trust God with it. I think that God is wanting to give you a key. And one of the keys for the gospel into this community is via the avenue of God's healing with regards to the hope that people have lost. It's fascinating that after 9/11, church attendance worldwide spiked. Oh. Even a country like Australia that is so post-Christian, it's nothing to do with Christianity. Even there, it spiked. Why? Because people were challenged in their hope. One of the most secure nations in the world all of a sudden was confronted with destruction. Mm-hmm. It could happen to believers, it can happen anywhere. Mm-hmm. And people were challenged with, where do I put my hope? In the economy, is in our security, where do I put my hope? And I believe that God is committed to getting the world to understand once again how much they need God. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Mm. So I believe that God is committed to even bring Europe, together with the rest of the world, to a place of understanding their need for God. And with everything that's available, humanly speaking and materially, it's very easy to say, God, I don't. And yet I think it is clear also to see that so much of that 170 billion that gets spent probably are not leading to lasting change. Probably isn't making a difference that they would like it to make. And we know the cure. We know who the cure is. But in order for us to be able to do that, I believe it is important also for us to recognize that if we want to share hope, we've got to have hope. Amen? If we want to share hope, we've got to have hope. If we, like Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because I believe it's the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first and the Greek, for the South African and the Englishman, for the Taiwanese and the Zambian. I believe. But why do I believe it? It's because I've tasted. I've tasted. And so I believe that as God is wanting to position the church to bring healing in this area, he's not wanting to do it from a position where we preach at people and where we throw a lot of theories at people, but where we are connecting to God heart to heart, and from that, able to connect to the broken people around us heart to heart. And that's a vulnerable place because it's not a place where we come from, and when they touch on it, but sometimes what we have to give to people is to say to them, I'm going to journey with you through this. And today the world is fascinated, even the Christian church is fascinated with the miraculous. Mm-hmm. The miraculous excite us, the miraculous take us on incredible journeys and adventures, and it's powerful. One of these, Nastasha, the girl that Danielle is friends with, she's got this passion for the miraculous, and she shares the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she prays for people. And, you know, God is wanting to release more of his miracle power in our lives. More and more. We're going to pray for some of you guys that are sick this morning. The Lord will touch you and heal you. And if you have friends and family that are sick, that God will touch them and heal them. But I also have a concern in my heart that the church at times is too quick to want to just see people zapped and healed. Because there's a place where we have to journey with people if we truly want to understand God's heart. Mm. If we truly want to experience his heart, if we truly want to experience the glory of him using us. In Matthew 10 verse 42, Jesus says, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he's my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. I don't know about you, but I don't want to lose my reward. I'm living for the reward of hearing the Father say, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to be chasing after miracles. I don't want to be chasing after church growth. I don't want to be chasing after anything that would make me look good and miss the little ones around me. And Shofar, you're friends of Shofar. I believe that you are in a unique position and that God has in a way, almost like a shepherd would use his shepherd's dog to, what do you call that dog? The sheep dog, the collie, whatever it is, the sheep dog, right? Profound name, the sheep dog, use the sheep to back him into a corner to say that I'm wanting you again to value the one. I want you to value the little one. And in valuing the little one, you will begin to value what I've given you to give. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, speaking about the little kids, but speaking also to the spiritually young, the spiritually immature, the spiritual infants, Jesus says that my reward is reserved for those who are able to give a cup of cold water to the one that needs it. Now we would probably have a lot of rewards for the greatest miracles, the greatest church growth, the most profound business plan, makes the most money, makes the most dramatic change. We would probably reward that. Most of the church does.
That's what sells most of the books and gets most of the podcast hits. But Jesus says that I've got a reward reserved for those who have the ability to see the little ones. Because it's difficult for us to give a glass of cold water to someone if we don't see that someone. Isn't that terrible? If we don't see the little one, if we don't notice the little one, if we don't hear the little one, if we don't hear the cry of their heart, if we don't hear what lies behind the tantrum, so to speak, if you don't hear what lies behind that boss that comes against you with his aggression, or that family member that pushes you away because you're a believer, if you don't hear what lies behind the cry, you'll miss the fact that there's a little one. Maybe the little one is 50 years old and built like a tank, like Nige. but there's something inside that person that just needs a cup of cold water. And so, saints, I believe that God has called us to share hope. I believe that God, as we're thinking about being planted, that God is wanting to firmly plant us in hope. If we are going to be planted in anything in these seasons that we're going into as the church, if we're going to survive the seasons that are coming, then we need to be planted in hope so that we can share hope. So I wonder this morning, if you look at the glass, there's as being filled with water, that if you were to take your glass or your bottle of hope and you were to have a look at your cup, what's the state of your hope this morning? What's the state of your hope? If you were to be confronted with someone who's hopeless right now, would you be able to share with them a scripture, a theory, or would you be able to share with them a journey of how God has been walking with you in your life? And I want to, thank you, Deborah, I'm going to trust God with us this morning that He will come and that He will supernaturally come and resurrect some of our hope here. That He will come and resurrect our hope, not just so we can have enough for ourselves, but be in a place of being willing and able to share that hope with those that God places around us. Because there's a reason God has placed you in this nation. There's a reason why God has placed you in this continent with so much and so many challenges. And so if we think about being planted in hope, I'm going to take you to Romans 5, verse 1. Sorry, I left up the scripture reference. Romans 5, verse 1. If we are going to be planted in hope, I believe it's important to understand what makes for the soil for hope to grow. What makes for the soil for hope to flourish? Because it is clear that hope can grow or hope can diminish. As you're sitting here right now, if you were to think about your own life, you were to think about a challenge in your own life, are you more hopeful right now considering that challenge than you were this time last year? Or has your hope grown a little bit weaker? And then the answer to that question doesn't have to be a correct answer. Because sometimes the devil uses the shame in our lives to keep us away from an honest conversation with God. It's not about is my hope strong or is it weaker. The issue lies, are you honest enough to have the conversation with God? Where's my hope? How strong is my hope? For some of us, we're standing in faith for kids to get healed, or we're standing in faith to have kids, or we're standing in faith for breaking our business, or for family members to get saved, and for all of us, we go through times, don't we? Where your hope is stronger. We come together in a weekend like this, an incredible weekend with amazing friends and people who just encourage us and strengthen us. And that's why we have to have weekends like this. We have to have foot stops along the way so we can be encouraged and we can be strengthened. But the reality is, we don't live here, do we? We don't live within this amazing environment where you wake up and you hear the sound of believers praising and praying. Most of us don't wake up like that. Most of us don't get to work and we have somebody that says, "Yes, man, you are the head and not the tail. Come on, you know, we can do this. We can take this day. You know, your destiny maker, you son of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, you demon chaser. Come on, man." Most of us don't live in a work environment like that. And so it's important for us to in a sense, take ownership of our hope. Because you go back to environments where maybe it's not as green as this. So much water in the Netherlands, it's amazing. And this place is just like green. But some of us come from environments where it's not that green and the water isn't that plentiful. And then you have to know, like Renee had to, in that little apartment of hers on the second floor, whatever, third floor, where are you, in that little balcony on that roof where there's no soil, she had to get some soil in there. She had to water. And so I hope you might be living on a first floor balcony that's hard as concrete with no soil. And you've got to understand that I have to take ownership of my home. Nobody else is going to do it for me. Nobody else. And I'm concerned for the pop culture of church where we run after the one next conference and the one next worship song. It's so amazing to just inject us with more hope, more hope, more hope. I'm basing my hope off somebody else's song and somebody else's sermon. And God is saying, but I've put you in your work environment, not either. Not that great preacher, not that amazing band. I put you in your work environment, in your family, because I want to spread my hope to you. And I believe the first foundation in terms of our soil that we need to have is we need to be planted in peace. And Romans 5 is one. So we're building up Romans 5:5, right? Just very quickly. So Proverbs speaks about hope that gets delayed or frustrated, makes the heart go weary. It crushes the heart. That's the one kind of hope. And then Romans 5:5 says, but there is a hope that does not make a shame. Because of the love of God that has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So it is possible to have hope that carries you, hope that is sustained by the love of God. It is possible. But there is a process that we need to go through for ourselves and for those that we minister to. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight, the New Living Translation, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. And so the first soil that we have to be planted in over and over again as believers is this. That irrespective of how my relationships look like with those around me, irrespective of what my relationship is like, even with myself. Remember Jesus said, I want you to, what are the two greatest commandments? I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then I want you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So there are actually three love relationships there that Jesus mentions. It's loving God, it's loving your neighbor, and it's loving yourself. And irrespective of the state of your relationships, irrespective of whether you feel that, hey man, I'm loving God with all my heart, all my mind. My life reflects it. My quiet times is rocking. You know, I sense the Spirit of God working through me. I feel like I'm connected to God. You know what I'm talking about? You have this moment where you feel like, man, I can just be in this moment. I can just be in this place. This is it. This is what I've been created for spiritually. I feel that connection. Or whether you go through a dry spell where you don't feel that connection, and you're praying, and it's boom against the roof, down on the floor, and you're praying by faith, and you're singing the songs by faith. Guys, know what I'm talking about. Irrespective of whether you feel the intimacy or whether you have to just believe the intimacy, the fact is you have peace with God through what Jesus has done for you. We have to be rooted in that truth, in that my spiritual connection with God, my spiritual state of well-being, my confidence with God, my peace with God is not based upon my performance. It's not based upon my performance. And if the devil subtly moves me into a sphere where I begin to base my peace with God upon my performance, and it's subtle, just little by little, one millimeter at a time, 1 inch at a time, he moves us into that space. Then he moves us out of our peace, because now all of a sudden my peace becomes something that is transient, something that is changing, something that is now all of a sudden based upon me. My peace with God is not based upon me. It's based upon Jesus, what he has done. I've been made right in God's sight by faith. If we were to take that verse and maybe put the Heinrich translation in there, or the Sufiso translation in there, or whatever translation in there, what would we say? Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by my amazing sermon, Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by the way I parent my children, by the way I love my husband, those things are all important. And they are outflows of my relationship with God, but I'm not made right in God's sight by any of those things. I'm made right in God's sight by my faith in what He has done for me. He has taken me as a prodigal. He's taken me as a messed up, broken person that deserved death, and He has reconciled me to Himself. And so when I stand on that mountain, I look out the cliff, the rocks down the bottom, and I think about the many lives that were shattered there. I cannot help but think, did they know? Did the message get to them? Irrespective of what you have done, you can be made right with God. You can be made right with God. And for us as believers, and I want to say this to you over and over again, because you are in an environment where it's tough spiritually. And where I know that you have hopes and you have dreams and you things that you trust in God for. And I think if we were to be honest with ourselves, we would even come into a room like this and we would say, man, I have faith that we would be 100 people or 200 people or 1,000 people. I have faith that down the line we will be so many people. Well, I have faith that my community would have been changed by now, my family would have been changed by now already. Those things, as important as they are, should not determine our peace. Because all of those things change. All of them. Every single one of them change. And I'm trusting God that this morning He will just come and if the tree of your hope has been planted a little bit in your performance, then the gardener will come, take you out of that soil, put you in another pot with a soil of His peace. Says, I'm not here. You're right. You are alright. You are alright. Based upon your faith in Jesus. I shared on my Facebook six shorts, like 1 minute video clips that come across. Guys, we don't do that. It's a beautiful story of Hosea and Gomer. A modern guy. Just like they just show again how this man marries this woman and then she betrays him, the deepest part that any marriage partner could ever betray in her life. And he goes for her again. And she betrays him again. And eventually right at the end, she does the pregnancy test and she's pregnant with somebody else's child. She comes back out and gives it again. There's Jesus, that's how much I love you. You might stand with me based upon me, who I am, but you have to believe it. You have to accept it. She had to accept it with you. She could choose to live out in the street. She had to come out and I'm trusting your love. So, Shofar, you're. To be planted in His peace means to trust His finished work. Trust Him. Come home. Come home. Because every time, just come home. Come home. See, irrespective of what your week has been like, what your performance has been like, come home. Trust Him. He is still the one who's made peace on your behalf. He's paid the price. He's paid the price. He's paid the price. Second, I believe that God wants us to be planted in a safe place. Grace verse 2 says, because of our faith, and again, there's the key. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. I love the translation of grace, undeserved privilege. Where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Because of our faith, and what Jesus has done for us. So not for how much I love God, how much my relationships are sorted out, if everything is hunky-dory between those that myself and that I love. Irrespective of those things, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. We have to be anchored within the now of His grace. The now. You know, what happens when our hope gets dashed or our hope gets delayed or frustrated is we mostly tend to live in the past with regret. Man, I should have done this. Man, yes, like if we should have checked our bag for the passports. We should have checked it. We should have checked it again. And then we miss a flight. And then you can live there, or you can be in the now. So we missed the flight, but we are here now. And we wanted to be there already, but we're not there already, but we are here now. And so what does God have for me here now? And if you live with crushed hope or delayed hope, it robs you of the now. Robs you of the beautiful journey. The beautiful moment when there's life around you. There are surprises around you. There are butterfly kisses around you. There are just so many beautiful things right now. And Paul says that because we have been brought into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. He says, I'm gonna pray for some of you that you would be translated into the now. Into the place where you have the burning bush with the great I am. The one who now has a now word for you. Now has a word of destiny. Now has a purpose for you in this moment. Not for the person that you should have been or the person that you will become one day, but for the now. And if we live in a space of delayed hope, we are always wrestling with the person I should have been or the person that I want to be and the person that I am right now. And Jesus wants to come and bring peace to some of us here with the person that you are right now. Are you getting there? He's wanting to bring you peace and excitement over the you that you are right now. Amen. Not the you that you should have been or the who that you will become one day, but who you are right now. Because if you are there in that moment, then we are awake to those around us. We now stand. We are privileged people. The voice of God through His Word. Privileged people who have the Spirit of God. Privileged people who got access into the throne room. You've got access into a community of believers like this. You've got access into the comfort of the Holy Spirit, into the affirmation of the Father. Access into friendship with Jesus. It's amazing now in which we stand. And so often I bring myself back to moments where I've got to recalibrate myself. Because I move into what I do with faith. I move into engaging with people around me in our movement and with congregations by faith. You know, we recently had a congregation that we had to make some sums and we had to come to the conclusion that that environment, that place had to change, that the leadership there had to change. And then God was working a different way with that congregation and the people there than what we thought. Now, it's a 10-year journey for me. I sent the pastor there. We planted the church there. We invested money there. We invested time there. And it didn't turn out the way that I wanted to. Not in my wildest dreams did I think we would get to the place where that conclusion would be different to what I thought of. That is not what I exercised my faith for. That is not what I stood in. That's not what we fasted for. That's not what we drove hundreds of kilometers for. And it's happening under my watch. As I'm the leader now, that's happening. And you know what? There I've got to recalibrate myself. Am I in right standing with God? Am I in a safe place with God based upon all the churches under my watch flourishing? Or am I in right standing with God? Am I with Him now based upon what He has done for me? Based upon how He sees me. It's easy to preach it. It's not that easy living it. Because our entire environment is geared towards performance. I mean, we could just preach a sermon and live in church, lay down life, and it will be easy. But you go back into environments where you are evaluated and appraised. And you've got to fight for the place of the now. Right now I'm standing. Father, don't exit into your voice. What are you saying to me? What are you saying? What do you want to say through me to the past that I'm having a journey with? Or am I going to live with so much regret that I can't even hear your voice? What do you want to say to the past? Right now, there is abundance available for us. if we are rooted in the now, Paul says we can confidently look the progression. He says we stand in this privileged position now. And because we stand in this position, we confidently and joyfully look forward.
Amen.
It's impossible to look confidently forward if you are rooted in who Christ is in you right now. What he has done for you right now. So I thank God that I have his voice. I thank God that I've got his word. I thank God that I've got access into his presence. But I also look forward, come on, to that day beyond next year where the churches flourish and the budgets will work out. I look beyond this earth age and I look to eternity. And I look to man, the way that I hear God's voice now, it is still in part, but there will come a day where I will hear his voice fully and completely. The friendship that I have with Jesus is amazing, but it is still in part. There will come a day where myself and my best buddy, my best friend, we will be face to face and we'll be able to have conversations and talk about things that I wish that I could talk to him about right now in a real way. I know that he's real. I know that he walks into my life. But there's a greater reality waiting for us. So I want to encourage you to be anchored in the now, but also, saints, be anchored in the eternal. Be anchored in that moment when you'll be fully restored, fully healed, fully recovered, fully delivered, fully have everything that God has in store for you. Because he's your portion. There's a beautiful verse in Psalm 27, verse 5. Right, that's the exact same spot. And apparently that's a, what is it called? Chalk. It's a chalk coastline. So it erodes, actually. So Hercules told me there was another lighthouse built up a little further on the coast. They actually had to shift that lighthouse. What was the cost? I think you mentioned it was something ridiculous. They had to shift the lighthouse because the ground upon which it was built started to be eroded. So before the lighthouse crashed into the ocean, they had to move it. That lighthouse there is built upon the rock. That thing stands. Nothing is moving. God has got a lighthouse for us right now. Right now, he's got a lighthouse for you, irrespective of your circumstances. And David says this, he will surely give me shelter in the day of danger. He will hide me in his home. I like that. He will hide me in his home. And he will place me on an inaccessible rocky side. He will lift me up above every spirit of despair, above every hopelessness, above every accusation, every intimidation. One of the greatest battles that I had to fight was to rise above the opinions of man. One of the things that I was at school was really a prison for me. And my father had to speak word and life over almost every morning. That God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. He will speak it over me. And that foundation in my life made it easy for God to come and deliver me from that. But the moment of my deliverance was when I was running through a gang-infested area there in Cape Town and confronted by those three gangsters that robbed me, pulled a gun on me. In that moment, as I was confronted with life and death, in that moment, I knew my life wasn't bad. I knew the immediate perspective that they are the victims. I'm not. Even though my mouth was dry, my heart was beating, I was looking at the knife, I was looking at the gun and the brick. I knew in that moment, they didn't have power in my life. I knew that God wasn't finished with me. In that moment, he had taken me into an inaccessible rocky summit.
Amen.
And none of those things could touch me.
Amen.
In that moment. And I do not care anymore what people think and say. I live for the home of his approval. I live for the home of his presence. And having hope in our hearts, saints, I believe God this morning wants to come and deliver some of us from the voices that are just bombarding us like waves that crash against the shoreline, that wants to erode the cliff, that wants the lighthouse of our hope to come crashing down. God wants to come and plant us again on that rock. That's what he says about us, his voice. Now we're going to pray for some of you. God is going to silence some voices. I'm going to hurry up. I believe that we need to be planted in peace. We need to be planted in the now. We need to be planted in the new perspective, because this is what Paul says. He says we can rejoice too. Right? So he says, we had a lot of delays coming here, as I say. Missed the flight back home in South Africa. Missed the flight here as well. It's crazy. And then one morning, Nikki still gets the word. It says, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have enough its own money. We know that's such a word. We were like, we don't want to hear that. It's like, no. Has anybody ever gotten a word from God? And we're like, no. I don't want to hear it. I'm just like, no, no. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have enough its own money. But there's a place where God was challenging us. Is, will you embrace this? And then you go through the motions. Then you go through the human emotions. And that's why it's good to have one another. So you can have a safe place where you can vent a little bit. You can say about how frustrated you are. And so when we talk about having hope, we're not talking about living in denial land. We're not talking about having your head stuck in the clouds and you just, I'm blessed, brother. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. And just like a more than overcomer. Yeah, you have to confess the word, but you also have to acknowledge where you are at. You have to acknowledge there's a gaping wound. You have to acknowledge you're frustrated and you don't understand, or I'm not making it. So that hope can come. So that hope can come. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us to develop endurance. I had such a sense of just joy when I was reading the scripture and praying for you guys, because you are an enduring church. You are an enduring faith community, Shofar UK, Shofar Netherlands. You are an enduring community. You are an enduring community. And I want to pray over you that God will come and pour out a great measure of His joy. Because I believe that there's an attractiveness about the body of Christ that God is going to release over us, where in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the despair, of hopelessness, there's going to be joy amongst God's people. There's going to be a supernatural joy that carries us and makes us attractive, so that people have to ask, come on, what are you on? What are you on? We're heading for some massive shockwaves that are going to go through the earth. God has always used it to bring His people and the world back to where it's the Black Plague, the beginning of the 20th century, where it's world wars, whatever it is, God is in control of history and has His ways of shaking the foundations of the earth. When it's natural disasters, we don't know what it is, but God promises us that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Think of everything you know. God says it will be shaken. Will there be a people anchored on hope? I believe that people can be us. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. There's some strong trees here. Trees that are going to give great shade to many others. Share your story of endurance. Share your story. A couple of weeks ago, I visited a good friend of ours, Van Cooter. You remember Van Cooter? He was teaching at Bolus in South Africa. And visited him, and he started his own school beginning of this year. It's a dream that he had to start a school of excellence for kids who come from very poor backgrounds. And I went to visit him, and we walked through the school grounds, and we saw everything. And there was something in me that, yes, man, this is amazing. This is incredible. This is exactly the dream I had when I was a teacher. It's exactly the dream that I had. This is an actual fact, the reason why I left Cape Town to go and study in America, because I wanted to come back and start my own school. That was a dream that I had growing up. But that dream was actually a little bit of a Jonah dream. Because that dream was a dream I was using to escape from my calling as a pastor. And so it was in America that everything that worked for me as a teacher in South Africa didn't work there. And I was confronted with my own failures, my own weaknesses, with kids that frankly intimidated me, and I'd called in the sheriff a couple of times to come and rescue me and some of the other kids. It was just crazy. And I was there, and I remember just in my room, just kneeling beside my bed, often lying on the carpet, often crawling around there, just crying out to God, God, give me a breakthrough. God, let your peace be in the classroom. God, just stir the atmosphere. And I would go back in there and be worse. And I would drive back home, and I would sing in the top of my lungs and cry out for deliverance, and it would fell on my bed for 8-9 months so that God could work with my heart. God could build endurance. Build endurance. Build endurance. It looks like things are not working out. There's still a plan. There's still a plan. It's not a quick fix, but there's a plan. Trust my plan, honey. Trust my plan. Trust my plan. Come back to the word I've given you. Father, I repent for running away. Not my dream. We had it this morning. In my garden, there's some of my own stuff in there. I look at my garden and say, having my own school and starting a Christian school, because it was going to be a Christian school with amazing, all the Christian stuff there. Having a Christian school in my garden was a Heinrich dream, not a garden dream.
Mm.
And then in that moment when it was all shattered, I had to come back to God and say, God, your dream. Some of us this morning have to bring some of our shattered dreams to Him and just give Him the permission to say, God, is this dream for you? And you have another dream for me. And I'm thankful for that year of wilderness in America. Because I might now, could have had an amazing school, but I could have missed out on God's purpose for my life and for a lot of other lives. If my dream had been shattered and I had been developed in the earth. Endurance. And then the last one. Endurance develops strength of character. Come on. The church worldwide is in need of people with character. But from the internet, look at all this stuff, almost like every week, every month it feels there's another amazing worship leader or preacher for me. God is looking for people with character. And character doesn't happen overnight. Somebody said there's a reason why babies get cooked for 9 months. Bait. Fry. It's not an instant. You are in the area of frustration that you are in because God is building endurance in you. He's building endurance in you. And that endurance is building character. So our yes can be our yes. And somebody falls apart and know there's a safe place I can go to. I know there's a safe place for people. Why? Because of the testing and trials that we have been having. Multiply that, Joker. Multiply that. We don't know how special your endurance is. We don't know how rare this is. We don't know how easy it is. Maybe some of you know because we've had friends who chose to walk out of me. It is a special gift of God to get to this place. And you're still worshiping, still praising, still serving. Not because everything is sunshine and roses. It's a moonshine, sunshine and roses. But because of a supernatural gift. People of character. I wanted to just leave the scriptures with you. That you have been called to mentor, disciple, and raise up leaders.
Amen.
You've been called the father and the grandfather.
Or
flesh in the pan, very different people can't do that. Only people with endurance can do that.
Amen.
Two of the heroes in my life are those two people.
Amen.
Real heroes are hard to find examples who have emulated even harder. So my mom and my dad, 74, 75, thereabouts. People of endurance. I grew up as a pastor's kid, my dad was a pastor. You know what? He loves church more now. One thing when he first started. That is miraculous. He's doing a camp right now on a farm in the middle of the Sierra Valley in South Africa. Just ministering to farm people. People that nobody else has the time to go and visit. He goes and visits. And those things don't make it to Facebook. That are making the podcasts and to the amazing videos. God's looking for people with character. Because those are the people that God rewards. And character leads to hope. A hope that does not disappoint. So the other day my dad was burgled or put his ATM card in the machine, and then somebody cloned the machine and took all his money out of his account. So I phoned my dad and I'm all worked up, and he says, "Son, a long time ago I've discovered the devil can take my money, my stuff, but he can't take my joy. I will not let him have my joy. Can he have my money? Can't have my joy. I'm claiming my money back." He just refused. Bank account empty. Just refused. "I'm not going to give my joy away." I'm like, that's character. Where you say, "I don't live from the outside, I live from the inside out." So hope it doesn't make a shame. This is my last verse. Romans 5:5. Just skip that. "For the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit." The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. God loves you. He's not going to drop you. He's going to be faithful to His word. His word will not return unto you void. He will not drop you. Drink deeply and daily, Michael. You love the coffee. All right, so I thought for you, let me put a coffee in there. You're waiting. As much as you need your coffee, some of you guys, even more so, drink deeply from God's love.
Amen.
For His love has been poured out. Poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit. This morning, Trish Lanokrav, she intercessor, sent me Ezekiel 37, and says that the dry bones will come to life. The dry bones will come to life. So as you guys prepare that song for us, how much you close your eyes? But you stand with me, please. I want you to think about just your hope. What's the flower, what's the plant? Thank you for your patience. What's the plant, the flower, the tree of your hope like this morning? What's the soil of your peace? How's the place of grace? How's the endurance inside of you? How's the character? How's the anchor? The cup of your love. How's that? How's it going? Just close your eyes for me. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, for the amazing, incredible trees in front of me. I thank you, God, for the beautiful journey that each one is on. I know, God, that in this room, there are many of us on a journey, Lord, with our own brokenness, our own hope. Father, thank you. I just want to share this with you quickly. Like a month and a half ago, I was under so much pressure. I would get something from the pharmacist. It's just some stuff. Some non-addictive herbal stuff. Just to help me to get some rest. And I just want to share that with you. So I want you to know I'm not sharing this from a place of condemnation. And you should feel in any way that if your hope is struggling with immensely, you are struggling, that you are disqualified in any way. I'm sharing this with you for you to know that God knows where you are at. Now, all of us are weak at certain times of our lives. In that weakness, He needs us. Just a couple of days, but it was a place of this vulnerability for myself. Just to say, "God, I really can't go on like that." That's okay. That we sort it out as we go on. He sorted it out, started running, put some endorphins into my body again, and we're good to go. But it was just a place of vulnerability. So this is an invitation to you to be vulnerable this morning before God. So Lord, the tree of my hope, not feeling so strong this morning. Don't close your eyes. Father, I thank you. And we can bring the dry bones of our hope before you. The Lord has spoken to you. I would like you just there we stand, just to acknowledge for God and say, Lord, symbolically, maybe just lift up the tree of your hope for him. You know the condition that he's in. You allow now. You can hear Jesus this morning. Lord, thank you for the vulnerability. We lift up our hope before you. We thank you, Lord, that you can come with the encouragement of your word, the presence of your spirit, that we can speak the life over every tree of hope in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that by the power of your spirit, hope floods our being. Hope comes alive inside of us, Lord, overflows so that we can give those cups of water to those around us. Just allow this song to minister to you, Mary, if you hope. And as you feel hope rise inside of you, you can join and just sing. Sing over yourself, sing over those around you. Maybe you just want to bring the nation of the Netherlands or the UK or Zambia or whatever it is, or your family or your business. Bring it before God and sing and prophesy and speak hope over yourself and over those around us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.